John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
I don't know what you had in mind, but here we stand on opposing sides. Let's go to war.
Let's go to war!
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And welcome to Draft Day 2024, my favorite podcast of the year. Like, it gives me goosebumps to say that line every single year, the welcome to Draft Day 2000, whatever it is. So we're going to go through mock drafts in this podcast, what we do every year. We go through our final mock drafts. I'm going to give a little, you know, quick monologue. My monologue this year is short on draft philosophy or something related to the Giants. But we also have to talk about the Drake May smoke. Justin, how are you?
Man, the emotions are going back and forth every hour where, you know, even going back 2 days ago, Malik Nabers is a Giant. When we did our wide receiver preview pod, Bobby, feel pretty comfortable saying Malik Nabers is a Giant. Then the Drake May rumors start. And it's like, oh boy, you know, can they actually realistically get their quarterback? Can they get him? And now you even wake up today and it's like Michael Penix at 6 and then J.J. McCarthy smoke is even back too. So feelings and emotions are changing with every hour. It's all part of it, part of the draft season, especially because this team does kind of need a quarterback too, Bobby.
Yeah, so, I mean, Justin, ever since Daniel Jones went down, we were – you know, wanting a quarterback, right? Yeah. Like, it was the first time in season we had, like, talked about the draft because they were like, okay, this is going to go badly the rest of the year. The Giants end up winning, you know, four more games when we thought they might win one more at that point. So they kind of played themselves out of quarterback position. But, man, this smoke feels like it's real. Even if it's something doesn't get done, Justin.
The May smoke.
The Drake May smoke.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about J.J. McCarthy. Even if something doesn't get done, this is real right now with the Patriots, because the Patriots do, like, the Commanders and Bears aren't playing these games of trading back, right? They're not sitting there taking calls and going back and forth on this. The Patriots would like to trade back. Their issue is that they would also like to take a quarterback. They would like to take J.J. McCarthy, but it's been reported the Giants and Vikings, like, are trying to trade up to that third pick and figure out a way to make the Patriots happy and get that pick, right? There's been, you know, nothing concrete. You know, like an agent told me, which this isn't reporting, like an agent told me, this is not like hardcore sources, that he had heard the Giants had offered their first, their second this year, and then a first next year. I would do that in a heartbeat, right? We're not going to be able to pick Drake May in our mock drafts because we are not doing trades, but I am willing to trade up. I am willing to sacrifice my morals on the trade chart to go get Drake May, because I believe he is that type of franchise quarterback. I think he's a perfect fit for Brian Daboll in this Giants offense. I think he's a perfect fit for damn near every team that's not having the opportunity to draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and I feel like something that's lost in trade-ups, especially with this year's quarterback class, where this year it's so unique because there's three guys that you can easily see and view, you know, hey, let's include J.J. McCarthy in there for argument's sake, because if J.J. McCarthy does go to the right situation, I can view him as being like, you know, your upside's Brock Purdy. Awesome, right? Your upside maybe a little bit more than Brock Purdy, but San Francisco 49ers is a very good situation. But anyway, this year's quarterback crop, and if you're a team that's QB needy that you need to trade up, you're not just trading for the pick. You're not just trading for that number three pick. It's for Drake May.
Yes.
And for Drake May, and if you're hoping that Drake May is going to be the next franchise quarterback for the New York Football Giants, if he hits, we don't give two shits about, oh, wow, remember when the Giants had to give up an extra first-round pick? Oh, usually you don't give up next year's first-round pick. Usually it's just all the picks are a player within 1 year. You got to reach into next year. If you're doing that and he works, then you don't care. If he doesn't work, then obviously you care. And the goal is that Drake May with Brian Daboll, and you look at his traits, you look at what he can do, you look at the offense that Brian Daboll wants to run, it should work. Should work.
Yeah, and this is the reason why I'm willing to do it for Drake May. If we were picking at second overall, Justin, I would be strongly saying no Jaden Daniels, no J.J. McCarthy. I don't care about, you know, opinions on, like, pick this guy.
Yeah.
This is the guy to pick. If Caleb Williams didn't exist, he would most likely be the number one overall pick in this draft. You know, C.J. Stroud ended up working out really well, but he probably would have been the first overall pick in last year's draft, too, if he was eligible. So I just, you know, we did our quarterback, preview. We did our film breakdowns. If you want to, you know, go see our why we love Drake May. But I truly believe in him as a game-changing, like, no, not game-changing, a franchise-changing quarterback. So if that is real, and my hopes have been built up again, even though I didn't have any hopes until 2 days ago, But the smoke is real. The question is, are the Patriots have the balls to pull the trigger on a trade?
No, I think they should, man. Like, let's talk Patriots here for a second. Talking Pats, talking Patriots, welcome. My name's Justin Panic. My dream scenario for the New England Patriots, and this isn't even me being a Giants homer, you have Jacoby Brissett this year. So, like, the Broncos QB situation and the Vikings QB situation and the Giants QB situation, the Broncos and the Vikings QB situation is much worse than the Patriots because you have Jacoby Brissett, not an answer, but you have a body that's started a lot of games before. He's even won some games on some good teams, right? But what you should do if you really want to start this rebuild is you go from 3-6 and you get the offer that you offered them, right? Next year's first, the 6th pick, and then the 47th pick. And then you trade back and you put the Broncos and the Vikings against each other. And you can get a massive haul that possibly includes like 3 or 4 first-round picks if you trade even back from 6 to 11. That's what I think they should do. And that's how you really start off and kick off a rebuild.
I actually disagree. Like, I would just take Drake May, right? Like, I think he's...
But do you think Drake May would go there and succeed? Because that's a terrible, terrible situation.
It is a terrible, terrible situation, but I think he has the opportunity to do it just as much as, you know, anybody that's came out of the draft in the last few years. I'm willing to do that. I want to do that for the New York Giants. I would like to go up and get Drake May. If the Vikings are able to pull that off, I'm going to be disappointed because that means the Giants could have been able to match that, you know, and they give you the opportunity to drop back only three spots instead of eight spots from 3-6, you'd have to go to 3-11 with the Minnesota Vikings. But it is real. Like this is not just some type of smokescreen thing from the Patriots.
No.
There's no reason for them to smokescreen. They are entertaining this. I feel like they're just becoming a badly run organization now that the Crafts are trying to take more control. Yeah. But
this is also fully contingent on, which apparently, like, Washington Jaden Daniels is apparently done. But I'm not believing that until Roger Goodell gets in front of that microphone and says Jaden Daniels, LSU, Washington Commanders. This is all contingent on Jaden Daniels actually going to for this whole Drake May thing, so obviously.
So. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Justin, before we get into our mock drafts, I try and give like some type of philosophy thing, and this is something that's kind of been eating at me since the season ended, right, as more J.J. McCarthy stuff has happened. I don't view J.J. McCarthy as someone who's worthy of a top 10 pick. I view him as a player, even if he hits, like, you know, gets into a good system and hits his potential, is somebody that you're probably going to want more out of, even if it's pretty good. But the topic that's came out is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job security, right? And that being tied to quarterback because they're going to move off of Daniel Jones. Right, even though they did give him that contract, that wasn't some mayor mandate. They did make that decision on their own to do that with Daniel Jones. Even if they didn't love it, they felt like they needed to do that. So the argument has been, hey, if they don't get a quarterback this year, they're not going to be able to get one next year because of the class or where they're picking, and then it's year four and it's over. So Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's job security has been talked about this offseason quite a bit when it comes to their opportunity to get a QB. Not that they would get fired after this year, but if they don't get a QB in this draft, they won't be able to next year and will finish year four with no QB and get fired. Now, I think Daboll has done a better job than Shane so far, so they are, but they are essentially a package deal, yeah. Right, when you're talking about the two
and
together.
At the end of the day, I do, even though I agree with you, like I do feel like Daboll would be more on the hot seat first than Shane.
Yeah, it's, that's just natural that's how that works. the head coach is going to get fired before the GM.
Yeah.
But I don't think that should happen. That is very much a real possibility, though. But it's a horrible argument for being desperate and taking a QB who you don't really believe will be a great quarterback in the NFL, right? And then we got some reports about how the Giants feel about J.J. McCarthy. I don't put so much stock into that, but it seems like they don't view him as that. So people will say they got fired because they never got their QB, but I disagree. That is wrong to me. Joe Shane would lose his job after 4 years if he goes through four offseasons, doesn't put together a good roster, and they didn't get a quarterback. And
yeah,
so would getting a great QB extend their job security? Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
And that is what I want, right? I want Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
Would building a really good roster extend their job security?
Yeah,
absolutely. Ideally, you can do both, and that would not just extend your job security, but solidify you as a good GM. I want Joe Shane to be here for more than 4 years. I think he has a good process. I like his philosophies and how he's handled trades really well. The drafts have been underwhelming, but it's very early. Did he admittedly make a mistake by, you know, quote-unquote expediting the process? Yes. But after 4 years, he will have to pair good process with good results. You mm-hmm. can't just have good process. You have to have good results. You do that by pairing a great QB with a good roster or pairing a good QB with a great roster. You don't do that by picking a QB because you don't know if you'll get another swing at it. You pick a QB because you truly believe he can be great. Not good in the right situation, not above average, great. You don't draft Mac Jones because the next class is made up of Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Malik Willis. So if Drake May goes three, the Giants may very well finish the 2025 season without a franchise QB, and Joe Shane could be fired. Definitely don't want that, but he won't be fired because he simply didn't swing or reach on a QB. It'd be because he didn't build a winning roster with the other 21 starters and 31 backups in four seasons.
There's a lot of holes, man. There's a lot of things that this Giants team needs to address. And unlike previous years where we've had 9 picks, Joe Shane's first draft class, he had 11 picks. And, man, it feels like he addressed like 11 positions in that first year. And that was part of your draft speech in 2022 is, hey, you don't really need to just we need a linebacker. We need a safety. We need a tight end. You don't really need to draft every single position. Just draft good players. They kind of did just draft every position that they needed in 2022. But we're still, I feel like we're sitting here in 2024 and we're still saying that, man, they need all these positions and all these areas. Yeah, there's foundational pieces, sure. But if they don't walk away with the quarterback this year, the priority, even if they do draft the quarterback, but the priority will be how can we build this roster up? And you know what? I'm at a point where I don't care just about building up the roster. The New York Football Giants need superstars on this team, right? They need Kayvon Thibodeau to be a superstar. They need Brian Burns to be a superstar. Dexter Lawrence needs to continue to be a superstar. Andrew Thomas needs to stay healthy. They need, if it's going to be an offensive player that they take at six, Odunze or Malik Nabers, they need that player to be a superstar. That was the main thing that I learned. You know, we do some JM football stuff. I've been getting more involved in coverage around the league. You look around the league, it's like, damn, these teams are just loaded with superstars. And I'm just talking about good players. They have good players to supplement, but the players at the top aren't just good. They're superstars. And that is what Joe Shane needs to be striving and going after.
Right. And that's why if we end 2025 and we're saying fire Joe Shane or he just gets fired, could quarterback have a huge part of that? Absolutely. But guess what? There's been teams that have taken quarterbacks and failed miserably. And guess what? They didn't get fired.
Yeah.
Because they built pretty damn good rosters. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco 49ers.
They've made multiple mistakes.
That Trey Lance trade is a as big of a disaster as a trade you can to give
Jimmy
all
G
up that
contract
and never even give the guy a true shot.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets with Zach Wilson, right? I know they got Aaron Rodgers part of that, but the reason why they got Aaron Rodgers is because they built a damn good roster.
Right.
Right. The reason why they survived this last year is they have a ton of talent on that team.
This is going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, and it has made people uncomfortable. Build up the roster, and if the roster is good enough, the quarterback will fall into place.
Hopefully.
I wholeheartedly believe that, man.
And hopefully. It's not a guarantee, right? And here, we just said 10 minutes ago, trade it for Drake May.
Yeah, I think because it's there, right?
I think he is a cornerstone quarterback.
If it's there, go get it.
But when it comes to J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix in the second round or trading back up, to me, those guys reek of desperation. They reek of, I need to get somebody in here to make sure I have some job security. And guess what? I don't root for the New York Joe Shanes. I root for the New York Giants.
Right.
Hopefully Joe Shane is the one who helps this team be better. But after 4 years, we're saying that Joe Shane needs to be fired, it's not simply because he didn't get a quarterback. It's because he didn't build a good enough roster while they were trying to find that franchise quarterback. And getting a franchise quarterback does involve some luck, right? You have to maneuver yourself. Like, if they're able to maneuver this Drake May, that's not luck. You know, that's maneuvering. But you also, it's partly luck because they didn't win the Bills game and the Jets game. And they're flip-flop with the Vikings and picking at 12. So it does involve luck even when you have to go and do those moves.
Right.
So that's just what I wanted to say this year is that Joe Shane, if he gets fired after 4 years, it's not going to be because he didn't get a quarterback. Could that extend his life period? Yes.
It will.
Yes. But I am not taking Mac Jones because the next class has Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell at the top of it.
Nobody knows. The next year's class line, I don't even respond to it anymore. It's like, what do you know? Nobody knows anything about next year's class.
Right. All right, Justin, are we ready for mock drafts?
Yeah, I feel like we could have a 50-minute conversation just on... We basically just had a conversation about the direction of pick six. It's or trade up, whatever, the first round. But there's a lot of other stuff that they have to do. It'll be quite the lonely draft stream if they trade up for May, they give the first-round pick, and then they give away pick 47, and then we're waiting 70 picks. But
That will be the most enjoyable wait of my life. I will be celebrating all round two. Like,
We'll watch.
Look
Drake
at that
May
team.
Film.
Look at that team get Edgerton Cooper. They don't have Drake May though, unless the Bears get somebody like that.
Yeah, come on.
But they don't have a second round pick either. All right, so let's do our mock drafts. Justin, you do only one per year. I do four. I do one at the bye week. I do one before free agency, after the Senior Bowl, and then one at the beginning of the month. And then this is my final one. Justin, the 2024 draft guide is ready.
Boom. How many pages do you think?
Right now I have 120 players done.
So okay.
I think there's a few guys I didn't.
Do you type them out?
Yes.
How many pages on the Word doc or Google
doc? I have it by different positions.
Oh.
But this is like 117 pages because I have three that I need to put on paper.
Do you go front and back?
No.
Don't save paper.
I want to make it look thick, you know? Justin, usually I announce my pick and then you announce your pick.
We're changing tradition.
But for it's not a change of tradition. For the first time since we've been doing this, we have the same first pick at pick six. The same first pick. So at round one, pick six, Justin, who are me and you both selecting in our 2024 final mock drafts?
We're both taking Malik Nabers out of LSU, wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this guy at length, you know, and usually the mock drafts change and stuff. Maybe not so much at six, but this has been the consistent one for me, right? The midseason was Jaden Daniels at six, and then this is my fourth one. This is my third one in a row of having Malik Nabers, the wide receiver at LSU. 6 foot, 200 pounds. You know, he had 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns this past season. He just challenges you at every level of the field. He wins vertically, right? He had, you know, 19, 20 plus yard catches, air yard catches, right? He wins in the intermediate, despite the fact that Jaden Daniels doesn't throw the ball there that much. And he also will take a 5 yard pass and take it to a house. He lifts an offense up. He allows you to be right when you're wrong. So the Giants have not had that wide receiver one since Odell Beckham Jr. I think need meets best player available here, right? Like my big board of just, you know, I don't put positional value into it too much, a little bit, But my big board this year is Marvin Harrison Jr. 1, Caleb Williams 2, and Malik Nabers 3, and then Drake May being 4, the quarterback out of UNC. So he's third overall on my big board. This is who I want. The Giants, I think, will have their opportunity if they're not going to go get a quarterback at one of these. Someone's got to go in and get, you know, J.J. McCarthy. Like, I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to do that. So Malik Nabers, we landed on Malik Nabers for round one, pick 6.
Yeah, if you want to talk about superstar value, right? Giants need superstars. Giants need superstar players. I think Malik Nabers fits that. I think he fits a little bit more than Odunze, especially in Brian Daboll's offense. And this is what ultimately we're projecting, right? Brian Daboll's offense, Brian Daboll's a coach. We like Brian Daboll as an offensive coach. So fits the bill. Talked all about him. Yards after the catch. Yak. Duke can hopefully put an offense on his back. Get eventually 140 targets every single year, and he can be that alpha number one that the Giants have been looking for.
Yeah, so I wish the Giants had a quarterback so we could just pick this player. It's
Malik Nabers can still get, even in his rookie, Garrett Wilson, his first 2 years, has gotten over 140 targets.
Oh, yeah.
He could still be.
I don't even care about how many targets he gets. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver consistently in the NFL. You know, probably closer. And if he gets good quarterback play, he'll be in the 1,400 to 1,600-yard range. Like, he is. I mean, some people like him more than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
And I understand. I don't, but I do understand it, right? Like, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world, but I truly just think, like, Marvin Harrison Jr., as far as, like, prospects goes, it's like he's in the conversation with me as Jamar Chase. Not in the conversation of Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, but, like, those are the only two guys since I've been, like, watching the NFL draft that I view as, like, clear-cut better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. as a prospect. So. Yeah.
Explosive. So that's what this Giants offense needs.
So we get him at round one, pick 6. All right, round two, pick 47. Justin, why don't you draft somebody?
I'll draft somebody that I don't think is going to fall.
No, not a player.
Not a player.
I got to go first, bro.
Not a player. You do have to go first. I thought we were changing it. We can't change tradition. So let's not draft a player yet. Let's draft a DraftKings.
Draft DraftKings.
The 82. I love this read so much because it's like it's a big poke to the NBA. The 82-game preseason is in the books. I think the NBA is leaning into it too. Don't they have a commercial that's like the playoffs is like the real season? Or something like playoff Tatum. And it's like, that's not real. It's real. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, Knicks, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds boosts, and so much more. Let's go Knicks. Thursday night, can't wait to watch the Knicks at the same time the Giants possibly draft a good player. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WORLD. New customers who bet just $5 get $200 bonus and bonus bets instantly. That's code WORLD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help us fill over for problem gambling. Call 888-778-9777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. We have Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. DKNG.com/bball for eligibility deposit restrictions. Terms of responsible gambling resources. Bobby Skinner, you'll be glad you did.
B-ball. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did on the back of the draft.
Yeah. Wasn't that the fastest? I think that was the fastest I've ever read that.
Maybe. So round two, pick 47, Justin. I feel like me and you both have similar views on round two, pick 47. Usually when we do our mock drafts, the second round pick is kind of the most fun one. Because it's like, this is the guy that I think is worthy of a first round pick who falls here. It meets value. I think the middle of the second round is not a very fun place to be, but I am getting a player that I like. But usually it's like the player I'm picking in the second round is, hey, I have him graded above where this spot is. This year, it's right at that spot. Like, I have this player, you know, rated as a, you know, second half of the second round, and this is, you know, right there. We're right at 15. But I'm going to go UConn guard Christian Haynes.
Yeah.
6'3", 317 pounds, 33.5-inch arms. Long arms for a guard and a guy that's 6'3", Justin. And this pick comes from the Seahawks. Giants obviously lost their second-round pick in the Brian Burns trade. I mean, I've told the love story of how I fell in love with him, right? It started with doing a Peyton Wilson linebacker breakdown. I'm like, who is this guard on UConn, right? And I was like, oh, isn't there a guard from UConn going to the Senior Bowl? Mm. He was the most fun player to watch down there at the Senior Bowl. I thought he just dominated one-on-ones. And then you go and watch his actual film. Like, okay, I'm watching you. I'm breaking down you. Did some good stuff versus NC State. But I was like, man, I want to see him against top competition. Okay, but he didn't really play in here. I don't have any film. Let me go watch Michigan of him last year, right? So he's probably a lesser player. He was kicking ass against Michigan. This guy is someone who, you know, like the wide zone, he's going to get to his landmarks and finish you. He gets to the second level so well. And then in pass protection, once he's connected, he stays connected. Like, he just has strong hands with those long arms where he's able to recover and just control blocks. Christian Haynes, man, it's been a love story with him. We haven't really heard anything linked to the Giants, but this is my guy at pick 47.
Yeah, this is a Bobby pick. Kind of disappointed that Giants haven't looked into him, because maybe he is available at pick 47. And, you know, I don't know, man. I don't like pick 47. That I've said this over and over again.
I would love to trade back out of pick 47.
I hate pick 47. Yeah, I would love that too.
I guess we have to wait till we're on the clock to see what's there. But
yeah, right. I'm hoping it's like an Xavier McKinney situation, or even like Azeez Ojulari, where Xavier McKinney's probably a better example, but this guy's falling and we don't really know why he's falling. Like, oh, this is a first round player. Joe Shane also came out today and said that they have 15 first round grades on guys, right? The year before it was 11. Improvement. So a player that's seen as a first round player, but he falls a little far. I really wish we convinced the Panthers to take pick 47 and we had that original early second round pick again, because I kind of like the players that are around there. 47's kind of tough, man. But I like, if we can get Christian Haynes, like him. Think he could be a day one starter at guard. You may have to be patient with some of these interior guys, but I feel good about Christian Haynes being a good pro.
Yeah, definitely. So who do you got at pick 47?
I went offensive line as well. I went Jordan Morgan, the University of Arizona. This guy's being talked about as a first rounder. I think a great fit could be like the Baltimore Ravens at 30. They need a tackle. The Kansas City Chiefs, it's been rumored that they want to go tackle. He could go 32, right? He can go a couple different places. But if he falls to 47, I think he has some medical questions associated with him as well. He has a history of some ankle injuries, which he battled most of 2021. And he had a torn ACL late in 2022 as well. So this past year, he was coming off that ACL. But I really like him. You know, he's a 2023 captain. He's going to be 23 in August. Athleticism is his trump card. He's quick, fast, and good IQ to pair. I feel he's a very balanced player. Now, Jordan Morgan, career left tackle at the University of Arizona, but a lot of talk on him possibly transitioning to guard. I think he deserves a shot at tackle because he has great knee bend. I think he has pretty solid technique.
And he's just athletic enough for the spot with the length to go with it.
And that's why I feel like he could be a fit with the Giants. It was also a top 30 visit with the Giants as well. They wanted to get him in the building, and maybe he is an option at pick 47. So he's a guard tackle versatility possibly, and he could even take, let's just say, if he needs the first year to sit, develop, what position are you going to play? Let's figure out what you're going to be doing in the NFL. There's that option that's possibly available too, but he could be good enough to start right away at either tackle or guard.
Yeah, the first play when you put on Jordan Morgan film is fast.
Yeah,
right?
Quick feet.
He is very quick. Right now, I think he needs to get a little more stronger in the run game, just, mm-hmm. you know, have some more strain to finish those blocks. But that can add the foot speed is like the prerequisite, what you look for in offensive linemen. You know, and if we're typecasting, you know, players that the Giants have drafted, I know JMS didn't fall into this, but that was, like, I feel like JMS is an outlier pick for the Giants.
He's very unique.
It was such a need, and he fell to that spot. But, like, Josh Azudu, right? His hands were a mess. And Jordan Morgan's a lot better player than Josh mm-hmm. Azudu, but it was that foot speed. It's fast, fast, fast. So, good. I mean, I only had two. Like, I have Christian Haynes above Jordan Morgan, but I only had two players in between the two. So, like, if Christian Haynes was off the board, there's a good chance I would have went Jordan Morgan mm-hmm. as well. All right, round three, pick 70. This is where I'm like, okay, this is where round three and round four. Actually, you know what? I feel good about all my picks. I do every year. but this has been this is someone we looked at the way too early draft preview last year. And this is someone who I just think is going to be a baller. And I think the NFL is overthinking it, right? Where you look at where he is at boards, you know, and I have him as my safety one. If you want to argue he's safety two or safety three, that's fine to me. I don't think that's crazy. But I'm going Miami safety, Cam Kitchens. I've been watching this guy for a while. 5'11", 203 pounds. He has 11 interceptions in 22 games the last 2 years, and it's not on accident, right? Sometimes interceptions aren't the best indicator of how someone's playing. It is with Cam Kitchens. Like, and he's someone you could play in any role, whether it's single high, split, coming down. It's not someone you're just going to stick in the box, but he could come down and play in the box. But people, the thing with Cam Kitchens is, oh, the athleticism, right? And he's not like the fastest safety in the world, but to me, he is much faster than his testing time. And we talked about this on the safety preview. He ran a 4.65 40. That's not good. That's not good at all. But first thing, safety and linebacker, but safety is the ultimate. It's not how fast you run. It's how fast you process and get to where you're going to go.
You play fast, right?
And then if he ran a 4.45 or 4.5, you know, 4.48, I think he would be like maybe viewed in the first round. But I went back and we looked at it. Like, let's look at safeties who the NFL kind of overthought a little bit. Brian Branch last year, who I think is, you know, actually is kind of slow. Like, I think Brian Branch is slower. He ran a 4.58, which this is the fastest 40 time of the guys I'm about to name. Xavier McKinney, is he slow? Ran a 4.63. Kyle Hamilton ran a 4.59. He's been pretty damn good. Geno Stone ran a 4.62. Obviously, he wasn't rated very high. And then Hufanga, you know, someone that me and you liked out of USC, mm-hmm. who went, you know, really late. I know he's not the perfect safety, but the guy did make an all-pro. He ran a 4.65 as well. So safety is the ultimate processing and instinct plays, and he plays with good instincts. He does need to play with a little more discipline. You know, he's not Andre Sisco out there just running around like a madman, but there is times where he needs to play like a little more discipline. I love Cam Kitchens, and he's safety one for me, and I'm getting him in the third round.
I love it, man. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you basically just took it. He plays fast, great ball production. I'm going to talk about maybe another guy that has a lot of ball production too. But he gets after the ball, and he if you can get a guy that can be a playmaker for you in the secondary in the third round, I'm all for it.
Who's your pick in the third round, pick 70?
My pick in the third round, pick 70, I'm going Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State. He was a top 30 visit with the Giants. He's going to be 22 by the time the season starts. Man, like, explosive run rate. The stat that translates the most and the metric that translates the most for running backs to the pro game is, are you an explosive running back? Do you get runs of 10-plus yards, 20-plus yards at a high rate? And Trey Benson does, man. He was fourth in breakaway rate this past year. I like that he has only just 2 seasons of collegiate wear and tear, and he only hit the 20-carry mark in 1 game. So this is a guy that's hopefully going to be healthy for you. He's hopefully going to be ready to go, and he doesn't even need to be the sole running back one. You have Devin Singletary, and you know they may like Eric Gray a little bit too. But eventually, if you're taking a guy in the third round, maybe you want to build him up to be that RB1. Think he has some vision issues that, hey, we saw a guy like Saquon Barkley, even the second overall pick in the draft, had some vision issues. He worked through it, became a much more efficient runner in years 3, 4, 5, etc. I even feel like he runs like Tiki Barber. Watch some Trey Benson highlights of him in the open field, and he's got that ball tucked high and tight like Tiki did towards the end of his career, and maybe you'll get a laugh out of that too. So Trey Benson, explosive running back. I like him here. Pick 70. Offense needs some explosive plays.
He's my running back one in this class, and I don't really like this running back class very much. He just absorbs blows and stays up, right? And then I don't have full notes here because it's your pick, but one of my bullet points is just some wild contact balance reps where it's like, how the hell, how did this guy stay up? Like, it's unreal at times. So I really like Trey Benson. I don't know if I love picking running back, but at the same time, I have to go back to what is my philosophy. Take the best player available. What will you be happier about if you pick a running back who turns out to be really good at pick 70, or you fill, you know, whatever, you know, cornerback need with a guy who ends up being below average? So, and we'll talk about corner, but like, I just feel like corner never really fits the best player available at picks that there are. All right, round 4, pick 107. And this pick is somewhat of a risk, but I also want to talk why this certain player is a little bit different than if this was a wide receiver or a quarterback, or, you know, an offensive lineman or a linebacker. And I'm taking Texas' defensive tackle, Devondre Sweat, 6'4", 366 pounds. He's a second-round player, but we know there's risk here. DUI, had the DUI, supposedly is a big partier, right? You know, and he weighed in at 366 at the combine. He played probably closer to 400, if not just at 400, right? We saw him up close in the Senior Bowl, and he didn't even weigh in at the Senior Bowl, which means he was much more than, like that guy's got to be 4 bills. So I'll talk about him as a player, and then we'll do the off-field stuff. He's just immovable in the run game. He's going to command double teams every play, or he's going to win, right? And then as a pass rusher, he's going to win pass rush reps, but he's just never going to finish at the quarterback. He doesn't have the athleticism to do that. So he is someone you kind of have to take off the field on third down, but like you can, and you say, oh, well, he's a nose tackle at that size. No, he played three technique at Texas, and that's what I would leave him at with the Giants, because I don't want to take away the pass rush like prowess that Dex has found at nose tackle. Because would Tavondre Sweat be a better pass rusher at nose tackle? Yeah, but he's never going to be someone who finishes as a pass rusher anyway. So I'm just going to leave him at three tech, make it hard for teams to run when you're in, you know, when you're in a over a front. I just want to make it tough on teams to run the ball, especially when we kind of have two edge rushers who are not really run stuffers, and they're going to look for guys to penetrate. Like, have that one, not one guy because you have Dex, but have those two guys in the middle. So with the off-field stuff, it's obviously a worry. One, it's the fourth round. Two, if there's a guy that I can live with being the type of guy that parties a little too hard and can be out of shape and doesn't maybe study the most film, it's my 360-plus pound run stuffing defensive tackle.
And it seems like Shane Bowen's.
I don't need this guy studying, you know, film like my quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't need him staying in peak shape to, you know, have a chiseled body. Like, it's a very, like, it's a, we have to, like, yeah, do we, what I would love to have a perfect character type player, but sometimes you got to sacrifice that to get good players, right? And as long as he's not like a cancer in the locker room, I can live with my fourth round 380-pound defensive tackle drinking a little too much on the weekdays. Just don't get illegal.
Don't get in the car.
Learn learn from your mistakes and do not put yourself in legal trouble. And maybe slow down the drinking too. But at the fourth round, I'm taking this risk for someone who I've used as a second round player. Like, you know, I said there was only two players in between Christian Haynes and Jordan Morgan. For me, Tavondre Sweat was one of those players, yeah. But he obviously gets bumped down because of the off-field stuff.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this is a player that you could see taken early day two, late day two.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Maybe even day three, right? Because round four is day three.
And he doesn't give you any pass rush value right. at the end of the day.
But I do view, like, the interior defensive lineman that can stop the run. I know a couple years ago it was a meme, and, you know, when Gettleman was here and Dexter Lawrence and, you know, really prioritizing that room. But in a league that is about passing the ball and you want to get lighter, you want to take guys off the field to put your more secondary players on the field, you want to trust your big boys up front to stop the damn run. You don't want to have a run defense that's going to allow 4.5, 5 yards per carry every single down, because NFL teams will just press spam on running the ball if you really want to go light. And then when you go heavy, they'll run play action and then throw it over your head. So I like Tavondre Sweat in theory, if you take away off the field, and this is the data and the information and all the shit that we don't have access to, but Tavondre Sweat in round four, like, yeah, man, I'm with you.
Yeah. So, all right, who's your first pick on day three?
My first pick on day three, I'm finally going defense. And, man, Giants fans are like, we need defense. Where's the secondary? Well, here, I'm getting you your secondary help here with DeDadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. That's right. Long name, DTD. But he's got a great nickname, though, DTD for short. But you can also call him Rabbit, which I would love to call a player on the Giants.
I almost
Rabbit.
Did the whole pokey story again. And I'm like, we already did that on the safety preview.
But honestly, he has the nickname Rabbit. I mean, he has 33 pass deflections the last 3 years. He has 10 interceptions the last 3 years, 3 interceptions in 21, 3 in 22, and then 4 in 2023. So he kind of pounces on that football like Rabbit, if you know what I'm saying. Some of, if not the best playing the football production in this class for safeties outside of Cam Kitchens, but I'm getting him around later. 20% forced incompletion rate is insane. It's insane for a safety. He's got... According to the testing time, he's got the straight line speed with the awareness and range that you look
for. He's got speed, and he plays with the aggression, too.
He anticipates. That's the biggest thing with DTD. He has a good feel for route combos and senses where the QB is looking to go. He anticipates. He doesn't just react. I'm getting a playmaking safety in the fourth round that will come in here and will kind of start immediately. He's a little undersized, so I don't know how much you're going to play him as like this box safety.
Yeah, he's not going to give you much value as a run defender, but he's a plus coverage
goes after
player.
Goes after it. Giants need a safety. Think there's one right there for him. A 96 on Brugler's board, 100 on the consensus board. So this is like my first pick that I'm like, oh, this isn't, I'm not reaching here. I feel good about the value, and this is a round where this player is projected to go.
So we've both taken safeties. I know people don't love the safety class. I kind of do. Like, you don't have that top number one
guy. Because people like athletes and 40 times.
I like this class, yeah. Right? Like, Cam Kitchens, I really like. Tyler Newbin. I'm not as, like, the biggest fan of Tyler Newbin, but I love him. I think
he's safety one.
I like his game.
Yeah.
You know,
if the Giants take him at 47, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Dadrian Taylor-Demerson. Really like his game. Cole Bishop out of Utah. Really like his game. You know, Malik Mustafa is the best tackling DB. Anytime you bring up Malik Mustafa's name, people's eyes light up. They're like, have you seen him? I actually like this class. Please don't take Jordan Hicks.
The only top 30 visit the Giants have done with a safety.
Please don't do that to me. That would be torture to me.
Where he would be a candidate for pick 47, hence why I hate pick 47. Please, please trade out of it.
All right, last two picks. Round 5, pick 166. 59 picks between the Giants' fourth and fifth round pick. That's because this is a pick swap with the Panthers, and your eyes light up and like, ooh, Panthers' worst record. It's from the 49ers and the Christian McCaffrey trade. So I finally found a corner to meet value on these mock draft simulators for me. Like, you know, best player available meets the Giants' pick. And it's Notre Dame cornerback Cam Hart. 6'3", 33-inch arms. Like, he's got the length. And this isn't some Corey Trey situation where he's just got length and can run in a straight line. Like, this guy can play a little bit of ball. Like, I finally found the quarterback who, you know, I just say that's good value. Like, he's long and he knows how to use his size to be disruptive. He had some really good plays against Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, he can run with guys. Now, he doesn't have the makeup speed. If he gets behind, he stays behind. And that is obviously worrisome. But, again, we're talking about a fifth-round corner. I think something I like from corners is when they are playing in off coverage and they backpedal, right, which that's part of playing corner, is closing that cushion gradually. Like, a lot of guys, they will start at 7 yards off, they backpedal, and they will just stay right around that 7 yards. With him, like, he knows they're probably not going to run vertical every damn play. So I want to gradually close that cushion he does. Now, there's flaws to his game. You know, I think he consistently turns his hips to the outside, which makes him vulnerable to in-breakers, and then, again, the makeup speed. But I like his length. I wish he would have had a little more ball production at that length. But I really like him as a fifth-round pick, Cam Hart out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I really like him, too. He was a Senior Bowl guy, so did a write-up on him, like, in January or February, whenever that is. Over 30 starts since his freshman year, so he has a ton of experience. Love him in zone coverage. I think he does a great job of kind of keeping everything in front of him. So I'm a big Cam Hart fan, and it's kind of wild that I did like an ESPN. The ESPN finally got added like a mock draft simulator where they had Cam Hart like in the top 70, and now you're taking him round 5. So Cam Hart's quite
I think
those.
The consensus had him like around 120 or something.
So, Cam Hart could be one of those players that he could go really high, and it's like, oh, well, you see why, because he's long and he's a good football player, or he could fall a little bit because of lack of athleticism. Maybe some people don't like that. I'd be very happy with Cam. I'd be thrilled with Cam Hart at round 5 in round 5.
Who is your fifth round pick?
This is the first like Justin pick. This is the first really like Justin pick. Bo Lemma. From the University of Arkansas, taking him round 5, pick 166. He's going to be 23 in June, so yeah, he's a little older, but I think day 3, Joe Shane doesn't mind taking some older guys. It's mainly like a day 1 and a day 2 thing. He's a mauler. He's an aggressive player. He's fast. So even though he's a little older, he fits that athletic profile that Joe Shane likes in these offensive linemen. He really can move. He's tough. Like, he was really one of the only guys that held up against Tavondre Sweat from almost like a strength standpoint at the Senior Bowl. Even though I wouldn't call him a strong player, but he's a tough son of a bitch, man. He was one of the only players that utilized the hop step at the Senior Bowl, too.
Yeah, so he is like really like pretty damn good, like the first, second half, two seconds. I think why he's here in the fifth round is that if he's going against the strong, long arm defensive tackles, they can eventually just kind of win that, right? Yeah. But he plays strong, like you could tell he has upper body strength, and he plays with pretty, he plays with his hair on fire, mm-hmm. And in the fifth round, I really like that pick.
And at this point, I'm not really drafting for like a starter. I'm drafting a player that I can maybe see a path to him being good or solid or just, you know, he can contribute. He could be a center. That's probably that maybe his home spot at center, but he also did play guard at the University of Arkansas as well.
Yeah, he played guard next to Ricky Stromberg, who I took in the Giants mock draft last year in the third round, and then center this year. And hey, guess what? The Giants could also use a backup center.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Justin, let's finish it off. Finishing it off. Round six, pick 183. I'm getting a running back. I'm going Louisville running back Isaac Garendo, 6 foot 220 with a 4.33 40. I mean, he's the definition of a zone one cut and go back, right? Like, want to run that wide zone. You know, he's a strong runner, so he's going to go through weak tackle attempts. He's not going to make anybody miss, right? But he does do his job. I think he's a nice complement with Devin Singletary. You take another late round swing at a running back. We'll see how Eric Gray develops. You know, but take some swings on the late round positions for those guys. Maybe you could find a 1-2 punch. But he can move, and he is just a one cut and go. I know the Giants would love to, you know, be able to run some more zone. That's obviously a lot, very reliant on the guys up front. So hopefully Christian Haynes and crew can help the Giants get to that. But sixth round pick. I don't love this running back class, but I like getting Isaac Garendo with the sixth round pick.
It's the classic take a running back with your last pick on day three.
I think we've probably so we've been doing this since 2019. So this is our sixth year doing a mock draft. I think I've taken a running back with the last pick 5 years.
Yeah. What was the big year, argument year of Puka Williams versus who?
It was Puka Williams versus Javian Hawkins. Both didn't make it in the league. Well, I think one of our guys got arrested.
Puka though. Williams got arrested, but he's in the XFL returning kicks and having a hell of a year. My last pick. It will be a Giants top 30 visit. I'm going Chigozie.
And you see him
from Colorado State, the cornerback. He's long, 32 and one quarter inch arms. He's 23. He's got a 40 it's in the 85th to 90th percentile. Colorado State was a cover three heavy scheme, and he has the side speed to play man and cover one, and that's what Shane Bowen likes to do. I think he stays in the hip pockets of receiver, vertical routes down the field. I think he wraps up well. Hey, he's got some speed and quickness questions in the NFL, but guess what? If there's a position that I like taking chances on for traits, it's cornerback. Zero pass interference penalties in 2023. Boom.
Yeah, like you said, he's a good athlete for this going to be there. Obviously, there's a reason he's there. There's a lot of things he needs to clean up. He needs to be better at the catch point. He can be back-shouldered all day, but sixth round, take a swing at a corner. So
yeah. Top 30 visit.
All right, Justin, that's it. That is our 2024 mock draft episode. We did our draft day.
Comment below who you think had the better draft.
Oh, and I think you won for the first time last year. So we need to get the graphic of both of our mocks next to each other so I could post that tomorrow with a
we have that done.
With a vote. And we have our tradition where we just post each pick individually throughout the day.
Yes, we do.
And you see him, and now you don't, says the trash man. So good comment. So, nice. Hey, as we finish.
Do you want to recap who we took in the mock draft?
Yeah. What the hell am I doing? So round one, pick six, I went Malik Nabers. Round two, I went Christian Haynes. Round three, Cam Kitchens. Round four, Tavondre Sweat, the defensive tackle out of Texas. Round five, I went the Notre Dame 6'3" corner Cam Hart, and then finish it off with a running back in the sixth round, Isaac Garendo.
Pick six, I took Malik Nabers as well. Pick 47, tackle/guard, Jordan Morgan. Round three, Trey Benson, running back, Florida State. Round four, DeDadrian Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech. Round five, Bo Lima from Arkansas, offensive lineman. And round six, I finished it off with Chig, the cornerback from Colorado State.
Chigozie and you see him. All right, so we're going to be going nonstop, right? Like, enjoy. Sleep well tonight because we're going to be going nonstop. So, one, we'll be streaming the entire draft, you know, first round through seventh round.
Starting at 7:15 tomorrow.
We will have film breakdowns on every player that the Giants draft. We will have a podcast out Friday morning.
Yep.
Friday morning recapping the first round. And then the big one that comes out Monday is the full draft recap. That's the one that matters the most. But, join us for it all. The live streams are pretty fun. It's one of the things that I was like, I would actually watch that if I was, you know, not the one in the seat doing it. So Danny King will be there. The football grump will be there too. So we're going to be doing it live from New York City. We appreciate you guys as always. Another draft season.
Thank you to producer Jeff, ending, who killed it on the graphics for today.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And so it feels like it's ending, but it's only getting started.
No.
And I'm having a hard time ending this episode because it is my favorite episode every year. I walk around with music that makes me want to just punch people. Like, it gets me pumped up to do this episode. So
did you bring the gun that we're going to shoot off when Grump, we trade up for Drake May?
Grump is bringing that.
Okay.
I've had to censor myself if we trade up for Drake May, like, make sure, do not get the stream demonetized. Do not say anything that will, you know.
I thought Danny would bring it.
Well, someone's going to bring it. Maybe we'll get that. Maybe we'll have two. All right, that's an episode. We appreciate you guys. We will see you Friday morning, recapping the first round. Until then, let's go Big Blue.